clear for me, but I do want to leave the relationship as it is now. I mean the triangle, and I do want to have the money, because the money is supporting me in the next few years.
Yeah.
In what maybe I like to do. Yes. And I think that's my conflict. And yeah.
Do you have a good relationship with your niece?
Pardon?
Do you have a good relationship with your niece?
No.
Oh, okay.
She always, my sister always kept them away from me.
Yeah, okay.
Because I was a danger, you know, I was thinking different since ever.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, guys, you realize that what you're trying to do is problem solve instead of doing forever living.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, okay.
Okay. Yes, that's right, too. Yeah.
And all I can say from a forever living point of view is, decide what you truly desire and be true to yourself. And if you desire it to be a certain way, and you desire to have a lawyer, and you desire to do these things, then be okay with it. It doesn't matter how she feels. You either be true to yourself or you give yourself up for her.
Yeah.
And if you give yourself up for her, then you have to say, well, that's okay. Because if it's not okay, then you don't do it.
Yes. Yeah. In this case, I realize that acting upon these understandings is not always so easy as I think it is.
Yeah. Which understanding?
Pardon?
Which understanding?
That I have to be true to myself. I do want to be true to myself, and I say that. But when it comes to acting upon, I'm I'm swaying.
Okay, so then, Simone, I think the point is, it's not hard to do these things, but perhaps you are making them hard. And that's not a blaming thing. That's just to say, recognize your own empowerment in the situation.
Yeah, I hear what you say.
Hard.
What do you mean?
It is not hard to be true to yourself. It is not hard to do the things we're talking about. Any of us can make them hard, but they are not in and of themselves hard to live.
Okay.
Is it true that I sense that maybe there's some desire to avoid conflict?
In this affair, yes.
Then you might look at why that is an issue for you. And if you took care of that, it would help in the other. I mean, but here I'm going and fixing. And I understand what Missy said is that all you have to do is see what you want.
Yes.
But sometimes I think doing helps.
Yourself. In which case, if you're being true to yourself, then the conflict is probably a non-issue, I suspect.
Right.
If the conflict is an issue, somehow you're still not being true to yourself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So my question, Simone, is this, and what do you currently relate to as your eternal way, your eternal key, or your purpose, or whatever you call it? Like, what is your way of living life?
It is empower others doing what they truly desire or living as they truly desire.
Okay.
Showing
so
them that they can do that.
Okay. So anytime you ever do that, in any way, do you feel that you've lost anything or that you've come out behind? Do you ever doubt those actions in any form?
No. No.
Okay, then my question would be, I don't know if this is a question, in what ways can you, because you can, start doing that in any aspect of this current situation? Meaning if it's in conflict, if it's in making decisions, if it's in communicating, it's anything at all. If you go to that, I think that you won't be doubtful about your choices, whatever they are.
Like if you help your sister to live as she truly desires.
Exactly. She is not interested.
No,
she attacks me. As soon as I say something like that.
No, actually she is. She might not want to relate to it
in
the way you're doing it, but no, she's interested. She wouldn't be in your life if she wasn't. I mean, this is a no accident, you know, relating
but
to life.
Not really. Look at what Roger says about family. I mean, sometimes it's like, no.
Like once the black hole.
Huh?
I didn't say she should turn forever living on her. She can give. You can always help somebody. You can always show somebody something or do something without even them knowing you're doing forever living.
Yeah, well, that's my handicap, isn't it?
I'm just saying after any time in the last couple years that I've had a conflict and I go to, okay, wait, I'm just going to show kindness here. Whatever that means, I don't know how I'm going to do it yet, but that's my focus. And I just start over right there, that puts so many things to rest.
Yeah, it's true.
And I would say that's being true to myself.
Yeah.
What is yours, Andrew, again, would you say?
Well, like showing somebody to their kindness.
Oh, yeah.
And it could be events, it could be circumstances, it could be persons. It doesn't necessarily even have to, I never tell them. That's what I'm doing.
Okay then, well.
Yeah, that's my 25 cents on this.
Okay.
Thank you.
So does anybody else have anything they want to talk about or discuss?
I had a weird dream the other night, it's kind of short.
Okay.
Everybody got their dream on?
I'm putting my dream cap on right now.
Okay, cool. This is a weird one.
Andrew.
Yeah?
Before you start, I had also a dream. And my question is, do we put dreams ahead in the Dropbox again that everybody can read it?
If you really want to
how are we going to do that?
If you really want to discuss it, yes.
Okay. Yeah.
If you want to just
I didn't have a dream.
If you just want a fast
I didn't have a dream.
Okay. If you just want a fast take on it, then you don't have to. But if you really want us to get into the dream, yes, I would say do it. Or if it's a longer dream, if it's just a short little thing, it's usually pretty easy to hang on to. Okay, go ahead, Andrew.
Okay. Back to Andrew, yes.
Okay, so I was in a, this is Honolulu, I don't know how you describe it. I knew I was in Honolulu, I was in a lawyer's house. Actually, I think it was a former judge that I was working with on a project out here, or what Roger and I were working on with this judge. I was in his house. It was the bathroom. It was huge, you know, bath room, bathtub, almost like a swimming pool size, small swimming pool, and marble everywhere, and, you know, glass doors and marble walls, all that. Anyway, I was running the water. I got sidetracked, and I forgot. And when I remembered, I came back into the bathroom, and it was like all... the water was still in the tub, but it was full, and it was flowing into the overflow drain. And I was like, well, I don't know. That's what I did. I don't... You guys, I mean, if y'all want to bring feelings into this and stuff, I think Roger was just teaching us to go on the visual, but anyway, that's the first part.
Okay, anybody want to give a stab at that? What's the insipid?
The tub was plugged up and the water was overflowing.
You're working for a lawyer?
No, it was like, it was the house of a judge, former judge. He's retired now, but
okay.
I was working with him on a, Roger had me pursuing a kind of a project on type program.
Then please read the first sentence again.
In the house of a former judge.
Fresh cup.
I was in the bathroom. Through the bathtub room, big marble floor, marble walls, glass doors, like the big fancy bathtub. And I turned on the water from the bath.
Yeah.
So how do you find the insipid in this? What's the insipid? What's the first complete?
Turned on the bath.
What's the first complete thought in the dream?
House of a former touch.
Yep. And what else?
He's in the bathroom.
Oh, in the bathroom, yeah.
Okay, so it has to do with being in the bathroom of a former judge. Okay?
Yeah.
You okay with that, Andrew?
Yeah, I mean, that's the setting. I don't know that tells you what we're talking about.
Well, what's
it? Turned on the water, that's all background. He's turned on the water.
So it's all about emotions relative to the judge.
So that's the part that always gets
well,
me.
It's in someone's house,
but that person's not around. So my question is this like the mindset, attitude, something of that, you know, the self of that, like something like that judge or working with that judge? I can't relate
to
someone
else's. So the house,
that's like the judge's most personal space.
No, it's not.
It's the power and the opulence.
The home they live in?
Oh, usually I think of the bedroom as being their most intimate space.
I don't know. I just think the whole home that they live in is like their most intimate space, and I would just like, I think it would be kind of freaky to think about somebody being in that space when you aren't even there.
Yeah, but that's bringing outside stuff into this. So what you have to do is say a house is just the being, the self of this person, what they've built in their life. It represents who they are.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
That's pretty.
And then you're in the bathroom, which is the room where you. Hang on a second, guys. I'll take care of one thing. So the
cleansing. It's the bathtub is cleansing.
Yeah.
Well, but it was a giant room. It was a giant.
With marble. I was opulent.
I think of big. I think of size being like attention grabbers to certain things.
Right, so it's just that it's a very big part of his life.
Right, yeah.
Okay. So in the bathroom, a very big part of his life is cleansing himself and relieving himself of things that are no longer necessary in his life.
Well, preparing to anyway, I'm not in the bathtub.
No, but that's what the room is for.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you have gone into this room where he does that.
Yep.
Okay. So then you turn on the water. So you release.
You guys need to ask me about, like, something about the judge? Or no?
Well,
no.
I know all about it, but why don't you...
Who is the judge?
Yeah, why don't you tell them your take on this man, because I already know, but they don't, so...
Okay. The judge created a program, a probation program, that, well, basically, it's a new kind of probation to change behaviors. Essentially, it uses quick and certain, like, punishments or sanctions to get people to break up their behavior patterns. And in that, it's kind of like a tough love thing, and in that regard, you know, when they change their behaviors, they change their life.
My behaviorismus?
What's your question?
Like behaviorism?
Behaviorism?
I guess that could be based on that.
That's a direction in psychology where those programs come out from.
It's just like basically his whole philosophy has been like a child. If a child does something that you know, don't want him to do, you exert some immediate consequences, a punishment. So they associate action with punishment.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's what I'm speaking about, yeah.
And Roger was trying to get me to take the concept and come up with a begin-again probation where it's maybe not focused so much on punishment only, but like creating a whole new life.
Oh. Okay.
Okay, now it's starting to make some sense to me.
Yep.
Yeah.
So what is your aha right there, Andrew?
Just that, so I couldn't figure out, so it's not about his self, it's about the aspect of myself that's involved in that work.
Yes, yes.
And it has something to do with the emotions, or preparing, that's interesting, like, I haven't touched this thing, I haven't touched this project in quite a while, so maybe it's about, like, you know, preparing to clean up that aspect of my life. For whatever reason, I don't know what that means, but... that's it.
Well, do you have a lot of emotion still around this?
I'm not aware of that so much, but possibly. I mean, obviously it comes up in the dream, so something's going on.
Well, look. Did you put it aside when Roger was sick?
No, I put it aside when he was well, because he and I had a tendency to get into these things where we had no understanding of each other at a certain point. So I just stop. I mean, it's like, you know, we come in, we say something, we do something, and next week I think I come back with it, and that's not it. But we would do this over and over and over and over to the point it's just like, it's just pointless, so I stopped. I mean, I could from him, but I didn't continue that work.
Right, but maybe this is all, because really it's sort of like, gee, maybe this judge is Roger, and what you're seeing is that you had to let go of all of these emotions because you've been in his house, you've been in his space, and you've had to let go of all of these emotions because we've all lost this teacher. And so, but now you may be free to move forward. I mean, obviously I can't interpret your dream.
What'd you say?
I said, obviously I can't interpret your dream, but that certainly is sort of like...
Well, I think that some of this is just going to be, let's just have a good conversation about it, you know, insightful conversation.
Yeah.
That's worth something. So what you just said was interesting. I hadn't considered that.
Because if that's something that you know is an area that was of interest to you, then maybe now after all of this stuff is released, that's what you will be going in with new eyes.
We're on track. I mean, I don't necessarily need to speculate anymore. We know what we're talking about, right? So I'm good now to let the dream play out and say what it's talking about.
Yeah.
Or how it's going to talk about it.
Yeah.
It's good, though. That actually, I hadn't considered any of these things, so that's actually helpful.
I have no idea what it's about. Anyway.
Well, that aspect of my life that I had put aside, yeah? I mean, I was something about emotions involving that aspect of my life.
Yeah.
Of my life's work, if you want to call it that, because it was a work thing.
Well, again, it's your dream, so you know all the particulars.
Surprisingly not. Okay. All right?
All right, who fell off their chair?
Something fell off of my chair. It did. I put something down the chair and it fell off.
Okay. So, you got a better handle on that now, Andrew?
I do.
Okay. You want to go further, or is that enough for now?
No, go further. There's like two more parts.
Okay, go further.
All right.
Anyway, I got back into the bathroom, and it was all full, and it was flooding over into the, but not flooding into the room, it was just the overflow drain that prevents it from flooding out of the bathtub, and I just felt like, oh my gosh, you know, I forgot. I left this thing running too long. Wasted a lot of water.
So, did you feel that you wasted a lot of your emotions on this?
I don't know. It's an interesting point. Definitely food for thought. I hadn't considered it.
And wouldn't it be interesting if you would have said, wow, I got back just in time.
Okay, so moving right along.
Change the dream.
Because really, you didn't change. No damage was, nothing was wrong with that.
Nope.
It, yeah.
That's true. Okay, next scene is like, it's out in like, it's on the Big Island somewhere. It's like out in a, I don't know, some like kind of farm, house place, whatever. A lot of green around in the yard. Anyway, Roger pulls up in a truck, and he's got some big tank or something that he wants to get filled with gas or inflated or something. He wants me to come help him.
Okay, guys, what's a truck?
A big self.
It's a work self.
Yeah,
a work self, okay.
Yeah, it's starting to take some shape here, yeah. It's similar to a judge, a work project, yeah, okay.
So he pulls up as in his field of work.
Of course, Roger is the Forever Living thing.
Right, so he pulls up representing basically Forever Living. And he asked you basically to give it gas, fill up the tank.
Well, it's like an air tank. It's like, but anyway, yeah. It's like gas for the truck, air tank.
So it's time for you to blow the hot air.
Now maybe he's not really asking, you know. He's just all gung ho the way he is. He's all excited, and he's not asking. He's like, come on, we gotta do this. I never minded that. That was always kind of funny.
Okay, so you feel that he's asking you to do something?
Well, I don't know. Maybe as much as it is my own excitement or enthusiasm about doing something in this area. I mean, yeah, sure. I mean, when I think of him, there was always a lot of, you know, push and drive to do these things.
But there's also, you know...
Something new was always his favorite thing, I think.
There's also the reassurance that, in many ways, you're letting yourself know that he's with you doing this.
Right. Yeah, he can definitely visit you in dreams.
Okay, well, this is the first time he's shown up in a dream since, like, you know.
Well, you're doing better than me. I still haven't, so. So what happens
right, we
then?
We don't want the next part?
Yep.
Anyway, so okay, yeah. So getting something going. Now we've gone from my work to my life's work and forever living stuff. I understand there were some emotions. Now we're talking about filling up some attitudes.
Yep.
Okay, so anyway, we ride down, whatever it is, we get to this place. Okay, this is where it's weird. So, to fill the gas tank, you have to run the hose through some kind of a filter or a compressor to get it into the tank. And you didn't bring one. You know, I'm sorry this might be offensive to some people, but this is a dream. He didn't bring one, but there's this overweight girl who works there. And so essentially, he says, hey, don't tell anybody, right? She did this before, so we put the hose in her mouth, and then she was the compressor to get the thing into the tank. And
okay, wow.
yeah, right? I have no idea. He was like all mischievous and devious and funny and et cetera and so forth, and it wasn't really thinking anything of it. And anyway, that was like, I guess we weren't really supposed to do that, but that is the way you could fill the tank, so we did it.
Okay, well, basically all he's showing you there is that there are alternate ways of doing things.
Yeah, but obvious thing is like there's so many ways you can show me that in a dream. Why pick?
Did it get your attention?
Be creative.
Did he get your attention? Did it get your attention?
Yeah, it got my attention.
Whereas if it were done more subtly, it might have just slipped past.
Hmm.
I mean, normally when you put something very unusual in your dream, that really, you know, you go, wow, what was that? It's usually to pull your attention to that area. So,
okay, so disregard like the idea of running this attitude through someone, maybe somebody I know who's overweight or somebody who's protective or insecure.
Did you recognize the girl?
I mean, because so many details, I have no idea what that means.
Did you recognize this girl?
Probably like the actress, Rebel Wilson, the one from, what's that, the song movie, the singing movie, Pitch Perfect. She's a comedian, you know, I don't know.
I don't know who she is.
I didn't hear of the movie.
Okay. Me either.
So, moving it through a female in order to get the compression that it needs.
And get into the tank. The tank is storage for the attitude, right? So you can use it in other places, but I have no idea how the girl would help storage.
Except that all I can say is the possibility of getting the female perspective. I don't know. But,
okay.
But the fluid goes through her, did you say, huh?
Well, the attitude,
not
the air.
Not fluid.
The air.
Gas.
The attitude goes through her before it comes into the tank.
That was the way, because we didn't have the filter or the compressor we needed, that he needed. It's like he forgot or we didn't have it, so we just cheated and here's somebody who can do it for us.
Well, if you look at it and you step back from it, it's kind of like saying that sometimes you need other people's help in doing certain things. And,
yeah, I just realized that.
And that a lot of times when you don't have the tools, somebody else does have the ability to do things for you that you could do for yourself.
Okay, totally got it. Yeah, I totally got that. So, like, yeah, going through someone else or working with someone else.
Right.
Can
just
fill
think
my
of it as
again.
Going through a female's perspective. Because sometimes they have a different take on things.
Okay. Then help me refill my attitudes, my tank. Can refill my tank on
you
the truck.
You tank of attitudes, yeah.
Interesting. Okay, things I hadn't thought of.
Okay, so then what happens?
Yeah, in the dream.
Okay. Well.
Ah, oh, end of dream.
Okay. Okay. So, what else do we have here? You said you had a dream, Simone. Is it a long dream?
Not so much, no. No.
Well, just throw it at us and we'll give you a general on it. How's that sound? See if we can come up with something.
Great. I think it has to do with what I said before. Okay. I was working for Hawk and Dorn.
What?
And that's the institution that is responsible for the child I'm guiding in the school. So, I was working for Hawk and Dorn in a camp. Shall I go through first? Or?
Yeah, I just said we're just going to do a fast
nice
one. Just
lay I'm going
it
for nice work.
Okay. One morning,
oh,
I forgot my shower shell in the tent. So I went asked at the counter for a sample.
Sorry, a cut there. You
forgot
your
shower cap or a shower what?
A soap.
Gel.
A soap sample or
yeah, she said
shower
gel. Yeah. That with which she washes herself.
Oh, coincidence.
Yes. Oh. Go on?
Yeah.
Okay.
Simone, I know a big bathroom somewhere with a lot of water you can use.
I might use it again, yours. That sample smelled so good that I took too long with the shower and missed the bus for an excursion.
A what?
A field trip.
The bus for excursion.
Field trip.
A school trip.
What was it, a box for the field trip?
No, she missed the bus.
Oh, she missed the bus. Okay, that's what. Okay.
That was going on a field trip.
Yeah.
Yes.
What happened to the students?
Oh, they went with other...
You just missed it.
Yes.
Yeah, you just missed it. They all
with others, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting. Missed opportunities. Playing around in the emotions, cleaning up in the emotions. Taking too long cleaning up your emotions?
There you go.
Yes, okay.
Come on, Simone, get on with life. So I'm preparing and you're in there already. Okay, great.
Go on.
Go on.
Okay. I was important, so... They took me with a small airplane, and we flew a long time in the middle of a steep cliff.
In the middle of a steep cliff. You mean along it?
Yeah.
Along a steep cliff.
Along, yes, along, yeah, in the middle, yeah.
So she's rising
suddenly,
above... overcoming that kind of thing.
Wait now. I think there's a really important thing there we can't pass by.
What's that?
Okay.
I don't know, Simone, in what ways are you looking for reassurance that you're important in this work process, life work process of yours?
In what ways am I... What? Say that again, please.
Are you seeking some kind of reassurance or some kind of confirmation that you're important in this?
Sure. I think I am important.
You understand where I'm getting
that from, right? Pardon?
You understand where I'm getting that from in the dream, yeah?
What I said before.
Okay.
Yes.
I don't.
A revelation, or if you're just normally feeling like, oh yeah, I'm important for this, so they're going to get a plane and especially fly me up there. I don't know if that's your normal feeling, or if that's a bit of a revelation.
It was kind of risky, wasn't it?
Nah, that's not in the dream.
No. Nothing to do with it.
No. Yes, I do want to give my importance back to me, yes.
You feel that you've lost your importance?
In this house case, yes.
You know, how about life's work? How would you feel if we're having a gathering and we sent a plane just to get you, to get your butt over there sooner, faster, to catch up with us? No, I'm serious. That's a question. How did you feel?
I mean, that would be great for sure.
Okay. Well, think about how you would feel. Maybe you haven't considered that more consciously.
Okay. Yeah,
okay,
I do.
Think about it. How do you think you'd feel?
How do I feel?
How do you think?
How would you feel?
I feel good for sure.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, I just got a last question on that. In all of our forever living stuff that we do, what do you feel is your place in all this?
I think I understand quite a bit of this right now, already. Yeah. And this, and so I have a secure place for myself.
So when you're saying you have a secure place for yourself, you mean amongst the people that are in Forever Living or in your own life on your own?
With Forever Living?
With the people in Forever Living or with yourself knowing Forever Living?
Both. Yeah.
Simone, just as food for thought, Misty, you please corral me in if my statement is off base. I'm just going to throw a curveball for consideration. I'm willing to say, Simone, that I think that you question your place in our group. Maybe you feel left out or not so essential. I could be totally wrong. I'm just putting it out there for consideration. Since the dream's coming up that way, that's my thought.
Okay. I had that for a certain time.
Until how many minutes ago?
No, not right now. That
how long ago?
Changed completely 2 years ago. Yes.
Wow. what made it change for you, or what did you do to change it for yourself?
When I was with you working in the house, I met Roger in a completely different way. As you call him the bear or something. I never saw that before, and I had the chance to see that other side of Roger, and that made me change my mind.
Which side of Roger?
That he can be rough and very confronting and challenging. Yeah.
And that made it better for you?
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
I understood him from a different perspective.
What, it made him more human?
Yes, let's say. But I also understood that he gave his best for us to do, and that's not, it was his best, how he could do it. And that's okay, and that was not against me or against my not being a native speaker or what else.
Okay.
Well, maybe I went off track with that. Maybe this is coming up a little more in the area of, you know, teaching others.
Yeah, I'm going to pull it back to the dream because I think we're really going off in a tangent now.
Oh, sorry about that. Okay. Thank you for letting me know.
Okay, so go on with the dream.
Okay.
What is the target then? Where are you centering on?
Well, what's the incipit?
Oh, yeah, emotions, I thought.
Where did she start out? That's not where she started out in this dream. Where did she start out in this dream?
Yeah, I
was working in a camp for Hockendorn.
So she was working in a camp for this corporation that, what, takes care of kids that have problems, right?
Right.
Yes, mental disabilities and also body disabilities.
No. Okay, so that is the incipit, that she is working with people that don't quite have the same handle on life that the rest of us have. Okay?
Yep.
Oh.
Okay.
So you have to keep that incipit going as you go through the whole dream, guys.
What? What was that question?
No, I'm saying you have to keep the incipit going in your head as you go through the dream.
Okay. All right.
So then you go to the next scene, which is with her taking the shower. She doesn't have something to really cleanse herself, so she goes gets something to cleanse herself, and then she really likes the soap that she's using and gets preoccupied with cleansing herself. Okay?
Yep.
taking care of herself over what the incipit is, which is helping those that don't quite have the mental capacity or whatever to deal with life the same way. Then they leave and they go on a field trip. Okay? So they're going out into the world, and she's still left cleaning herself, okay?
Yep.
Then they realize that she's not with them and that she has some importance in helping these people that don't have the clarity that she has. So they take her off and bring her and raise her above in order to get there. Now she's up to riding along a cliff, which is an abrupt change in, I don't know what would be the best way, in landscape, in footing.
Environment.
Higher ground, lower ground. or whatever. And that's where we are in this dream so far. So you guys all up to where we are?
Yep.
Okay. Go on, okay. Simone.
Yes.
Go on?
Yeah.
Okay. Suddenly I realize that in the back of this aircraft is a tank with three baby hippos and their mother.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me about hippos. What do you think of hippos?
They are cute, heavy,
mean.
They live in hell.
No, you gotta
get in the water.
You gotta get what she thinks of it, not what you think of it, Sharon.
Alright.
They like to be in the water, okay. So they like to be in emotions. Okay.
Yeah.
What else?
Okay. I think they are very cute. The babies. The adults, they look a little bit heavy, but that's okay.
I'm just wondering, what size plane are you in that you can carry all this?
It was a small one.
Except when you look in the back.
In a dream, everything is possible.
That's right, in dreams. Okay, so what we would look at, in my opinion, from what you've said, that they are emotion-loving creatures that are very cute. Okay?
Okay, yes. In the water, yeah.
So they are traveling with you?
Yes.
Okay. Keep going.
Yep. These babies have to poop.
Okay.
So, the captain opened a flap.
Uh-huh.
And they pooped a line on the cliff, poop after poop.
Okay, so they're cleansing themselves. They're letting things go.
They?
The hippopotamuses.
Yes. Pardon?
They're getting rid of stuff that they no longer need. They're letting things go.
Okay.
They're letting go of things.
Yeah. Yeah. After that, I realized that we lost high and flew near by the ocean.
She lost altitude. Okay, I was going lost high.
Height.
Okay.
High. The flying high. Yes.
Okay. So now you're coming down more towards Earth, and ocean is just a big body of water. So getting down closer to the emotions again. Okay.
Mm-hmm. But we managed coming up on the cliff again on regular high, and were at the same time near the place all the others were. Then I woke up.
It just reminds me of what you said at the beginning of this thing, when I think somebody asked you how's it going. Well, ups and downs.
Yep.
Yep.
Lately it's down, but guess what? You're going to be up again. You're going to end up kind of caught up with everybody else again.
Well, yeah, anyway. Actually, I had the impression as an overall view of that dream that life is going up and down, high emotions, low emotions, but actually the underlying pattern stays the same, maybe.
Okay.
That's a possibility.
Yeah. Is that the end of the dream?
Yes.
So basically, it's just talking about what I already said, and then the same thing as Andrew said, that you sometimes feel like you're dealing with another, you know, and rising above it, and other times you're getting down towards the emotions again, and then you bring yourself up again. So you're riding a roller coaster.
A roller what?
Roller coaster. You know what that is? Amusement park where your thing goes up and down on wheels?
On the track, like a train that goes up and down and around.
Anyway.
Okay. Yes, yes. Yep.
Up and down, up and down.
Yep.
But the whole thing is that you're allowing somebody else to fly the plane. You weren't flying the plane. I was waiting for somebody to catch that, but nobody caught that. So you're letting other people be the person that determines where you're going to be and where your emotions are going to be.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much
what at the risk of beating a dead horse, Misty, they said that she said that they decided she was important, and so they took her up in the plane.
Yep. But the thing
is, are we saying that her opinions of her importance or highs and lows relative to that are based on other people?
Yes. Just the need to feel important is outside of yourself. It's determined by other people. You can feel your own importance.
Okay.
And that's different. But when you need somebody else to verify your importance, then that's outside of yourself.
Oh, I see. And I definitely do that in that case, yes.
Mm-hmm. So she's just telling basically herself that this is what you do, so what do you want to do about it?
Yeah, I got a question, Misty. Are there, like, in your many years of doing dreams, do you find that all dreams pretty much are just doing something like giving you a picture of how you're living your life, or are there, like, different types of dreams? Some that just say, oh, here's a picture of kind of like a Polaroid, and here's one that's telling you something, and here's one that, I don't know what. Like,
there's a number of different types of dreams. One is like you just said, it's the, this is what you're doing, okay? No matter what you think you're doing, this is what you're doing. Other dreams are, attaboy, you're doing great type dreams, okay?
Okay, right.
And then the other type of dreams is telling you that if you continue in the way that you're going, this is going to occur. So that anything of major importance that happens in your life, you've already seen it in your dreams. It actually has occurred. Now, whether you pay attention to your dreams or not, that's up to you. But that these things go on all the time, yeah. So those are the three major types of dreams that I can think of right off the top of my head. Okay?
Those are, this is what you're doing, attaboy, and what's the other one? Oh, this is going to occur?
Yeah.
Okay.
And this is what I'm doing.
I would say. Yeah.
Pardon?
That's one of the types.
How that one spelled out, to me.
I don't hear you, Andrew. I have a difficulty this morning.
Yep.
What did you say?
I'm just saying agree.
Oh, okay. Are you far away from your phone? Or?
Right on top of the phone. I'm just about to lick it.
Okay.
All right. Okay, so...
I'm fine. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anybody else, or shall we get on with this reading?
You want to hear about my non-dream?
Your non-dream?
Oh.
Okay, go ahead. We might as well make a night of it.
I'm supposed to, like, dream about my aversion to godness.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Thank you for the remembering.
You're what?
And I was supposed to ask for a dream that would explain my resistance to, like, the godness thing, the condition of godness.
That's right.
Yeah. But so every night I'll, like, think about it, read my little piece of paper, go to bed, and then when I wake up in the morning, it wasn't a dream, but I could, like, kind of see, like, people talking or something. And then they would disappear. And then so in the next morning, I would try and, like, and I would say, oh, tell me that again so I can, you know, remember it, you know, and they would, like, disappear. And then so every morning, I'd, like, try and be more, like, quick on recognizing what they said, you know, I think what the dream was or something. And it became like this sort of game or something, and it seemed like, I don't know, this is weird, but it seemed like they were like talking, but I wasn't supposed to hear them, so I wasn't supposed to catch them talking. And it was like, so they would, like, when they got caught, then they would, like, disappear, like go into another dimension or something. And that's all I got. That's not a dream, right?
No, not a dream.
Oh.
It might have been lucid dreaming.
Yeah, because that kind of a dream, you wake up and you remember the whole little thing.
No, it's a kind of dream where you think you're awake and then you can manipulate the dream, but you're actually still dreaming.
Yeah, no, it wasn't that. Maybe not ready to deal with that yet.
Yeah,
either that or you're working too hard.
Because I can't drink.
How did you feel about having a dream of, you know, to discover those things?
Huh?
How did you feel about having a dream to discover those things?
I was trying to pay attention, you know.
That's not
good about trying to pay attention.
Still not appealing.
No dream.
Just kind of have to keep working at it and try to write down anything that you can remember, and slowly you'll be able to remember more and more of your dreams, and then you'll be able to use it as a tool.
Okay, all right. I might keep doing that.
Yep.
That's good. All right.
Okay, so let's get back to where we were. We were in Chronicle I, number 36. Okay, we finished 35. We're on 36. I don't know what page it is because I don't have page numbers, so
1-1-1-167.
Everybody have it?
Yeah.
Getting that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess we're going alphabetically again.
Okay. So, is there anybody before A tonight?
Well, we can go backwards.
You. Yeah, no, that's all right. 36, you, as a particular condition of godness, have the ability to do as you truly desire, but you are not what you do. You summon that doing, and the doing summoned brings you alive. For without doing, though you have existence, you are not alive.
Anybody have any questions on that or insights?
Yeah, watch what you do. That's how you bring yourself to life.
Every single thing that you do brings you to life. And is that the life that you truly desire? Because if it's not the life you truly desire, then do other.
Yep.
Yes.
That's the big. Aha. Now that just sounds, I guess, like, oh, that's neat. But I think the reality of it, as you live that way, is pretty dang significant. I mean, you actually form yourself. I know it says you are not the things that you do, and I get that, but your experience of yourself is very much, it seems, what you're doing. Y'all can disagree with that.
No.
So I
wrote to this paragraph, in doing I come alive, but that is not the same as be my doings.
Yeah.
When I read it, that came to mind.
I mean, to me that's just saying you're not stuck with what you are.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not just saying that. That's one of the things.
Okay. Anybody got anything else to say on that one?
Next.
Okay, passage 37. And I believe that's me. The you that summons forth a particular doing, and in turn is brought to life by that doing, is a condition of godness. How, as a condition of godness, would you choose to be eternally alive? Would you answer that for me, Simone?
Showing myself and others that they can live as they truly desire.
That's it.
What about you?
And
right,
according
are?
To the dream, be my own pilot.
Yeah, but what we're...
Well, that's what this passage is.
We're looking at to do eternally. Piloting is not an eternally thing. That's a once.
Yeah, but the first is.
Okay. Anybody else want to take a stab at it? No, huh?
So when you say take a stab at it,
yeah.
At Simone, or what?
All of you. Anybody? No?
Well, summon. Hi, let's go to the word summon.
Okay. What about it?
That's from last week.
That's how you're doing.
It can be a thought.
Summon What do you summit it from?
Mind.
Oh, mind. Oh, yeah, yeah, good. See, Missy, you're so clear.
Mm-hmm.
That's for you.
So, you don't actually have to have a doing, because the summon is just a thought. But it's a doing a thought.
Every thought you think
or
is a
creating a thought or
brings you alive.
But do we do that?
Every thought brings you to life.
I mean, I think that's one of the important things about this. This isn't asking you to do anything you haven't always done, but maybe realize that, hey, what have you been always doing? Or what can you always do?
So nobody else wants to try to answer, how would you choose to be eternally alive?
Content.
Content or never having discontent?
Never having never having discontent.
Okay, but you want to expand on that a little bit?
No, not there yet.
You're not there yet, huh? Anybody else?
Well, I have a question. I mean, this is kind of... We can read this and probably understand every word. We know the words. But, I mean, could anybody understand how they're putting this in their life already? Or how to apply it more consciously in their life? Because if we can't do that, it doesn't really serve a whole lot. It doesn't help a whole lot.
Well, I keep it alive in my mind every day.
Yeah, me too. Although I think I forget, but I get this. This makes sense.
I think there's a time when I consciously forget, but I don't think there's a time when I actually forget.
Right.
I mean, because that's who I am.
I just don't know how to...
How can I forget who I am?
Well, that's really the point, Missy. I honestly think lately, like, there's certain things that I've gotten caught up in, and like just today I was starting to say, you know, is that really what I'd be willing to do forever and ever? Answer is yes, answer is no. But it's like as I did that, I felt like everything opened up and I started remembering who I am. It's like you can get so caught up in your little psychoses that you can actually forget who you are.
I think that's true. I think that the brain you forgets who you are, but the mind you never does, the eternal you.
Right. To me, it goes back to those dang emotions. Emotions make me stupid.
Yeah, well, that's why you were making such a big bathtub.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot. Hey, seriously, I forgot, and they were still running. Ooh, what a screw up.
Not really.
Okay.
Anyway,
it brought you to awareness, that was just the judgment.
All right. Anyway, I know Roger's trying the word summons. I just want to make sure everybody understands that is very doable, understandable, how you live, how you act kind of stuff.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, his old saying was, you are not what you do, but you are how you feel about what you do.
Yeah.
Okay. For sense, mouth is uncooperative, so we'll skip you by for sense. And we'll go on to what's next. Sharon, is that the next one?
Am I 38?
Mm-hmm.
Yourself in life is not about what you will be and do. It is about how you will life express, live, and summon forth who you really are.
already on. Oh, that's interesting, Swift. Yep, I have that one in green.
You marked it in green?
Yeah, I have it marked in green.
That's a first color.
That's a what?
I always use color coding for extra meanings on these things. Green, it's like a healing color for me. It's a fruitful, it's fertile.
Yeah.
I don't know what she had green for, but you know.
No, it's more that. It's one, the pen was convenient, and two, green is one of those that I do like for abundance of, yeah, the, because it's a, I think that's what it is.
It's the heart color.
Green?
Uh-huh.
And well, it certainly nurtures my heart through my eyes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Simone, this one's just for you.
39. Can you sit there and read these words, knowing you are not the you you think you are, sitting there reading these words?
Yeah. That's pretty bizarre.
In other words, you aren't who, I wrote, who you think you are.
Yes. When I step in the, when I step in eternal self you.
Anybody else have anything to say on this one? Or ask or put forth. Okay, we're up to you, Susan.
Okay, let's see here.
Forty.
If all of your ways and actions were governed by eternal, meaning that whatever you do, you will do eternally, and will experience again and again, eternally, instead of being governed by good, evil, desirable, undesirable, or right, wrong. What impact?
Everybody?
Can you hear?
Hello.
We lose
Hello?
You, Andrew. Are you there?
Uh-oh.
He'll call back in.
I think. He's pulled out of the line.
Yeah, he'll come back in. Okay, finish up your sentence there, Susan.
What do you suppose that would have upon your beliefs and actions?
Okay, so why don't you answer that for us?
Well, it's like you had an eternal declaration.
Yeah.
And have to
you didn't live by all the bullshit that everybody else does. And you just if you didn't live by all the bullshit that everybody else does, and if you lived by merely doing, you know, how would it be impacted by the eternal? How would you live life different? Would your life be different? You back, Andrew?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay.
How'd you know I was gone?
Because we could hear you saying, are you there? What happened? We heard the whole conversation from your end. So how would your life be different? if knowing everything you do will be done eternally, and you live life that way, how would your life be different?
It would be all the, promises come true and, all that. It's just remembering to do it, staying there.
Yeah, well, it takes
That's
practice.
That's the hard part.
Yep, it takes practice.
Huh? Takes practice. Yeah. Uh-huh.
But to you, Sharon, if you lived life this way, there would be no undesirable in your life. You see that, do you not?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or you could diffuse it immediately.
Right.
During the whole fire thing, that morning as I was trying to go over to my son's house, a man was driving very slow in his truck. And I really wanted to go around him, but I was in a place where I knew I couldn't make it around him in time, so I just sat behind him. And he turned the corner and I turned the corner. And I finally was able to go around him, and he's waving his hand at me, big fist, screaming nasty words at me, hollering, okay? And we come up to a stop sign, and it was red, and I stopped, and so he pulls up, and he's screaming at me. And I rolled down my window, and I said, I'm so sorry. If I've offended you at all, I'm terribly sorry. I certainly didn't mean to. I'm on my way to my son's house. I want to see that everybody's okay. I think the fire has everybody out of sorts. And he goes, oh, I'm so sorry. And immediately started apologizing and was waving at me and wishing me luck. In the past, I would have just said, get the fuck out of my way.
Isn't that more how you would want to live eternally?
What's that?
Isn't that more how you would want to live eternally?
The way I've learned that it's up to me if I want to diffuse the situation, it's up to me to do that. And especially if I had anything to do with creating it.
But you do realize that that was a teaching moment for you when you actually taught him something?
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting to me because I took that as, going back more to what Misty said, I don't see that as much as a how to diffuse a situation moment as I do what Misty said. It's like, in any situation, how do you want to live your life? How do you
want
to be alive?
Agreed. But this was just a glaring example where I thought, oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And
talk about dreams. You're driving.
Yeah.
Were you harassing him at all?
No, I was. He obviously thought I was following too close behind him.
That's what he thought?
He obviously thought that. I was more than a car length behind him.
Yeah.
But that was, I think, it was just everybody was stressed about the whole fire situation back then.
So,
it's just, I'm trying to do this every day, more and more all the time. I get kicked off center at times, or I allow myself to be off center. But more and more I'm looking at situations and not reacting in an old pattern that is not what I want. And what I feel when I react in the old pattern is negative to myself.
Mm-hmm.
That's the discontent.
And how did you feel after that encounter?
Oh, able to totally let it go and go on my way. But I was satisfied.
No discontent?
No discontent.
Good. Okay, so we're up to, back to Andrew, are we?
All right.
I got cut off, so what number was that again?
41.
You're on 41.
We're on 41.
Yes, for you is 41.
Okay, 41, what vision do you have of yourself in life if you and your actions were governed by eternal privilege and resplendence? Not to gain eternal privilege and resplendence, but to live them in your life at all times, because this is self-evidently you. It must be so. Would this change your beliefs and ways? How?
Well.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that. Well, I have experiences before. It's like feeling like I'm in the driver's seat of my life. Like I'm always like a bit removed from whatever's going on, but just in that regard, more in the driver's seat, more choosing consciously than reacting. And I don't think I've been there in a while. It's a good reminder, though.
And is the seat comfortable?
It's never uncomfortable, yeah. But like it is, it's not like, in a sense, there's a way to replicate that. It comes on as an emergent when I'm focusing on, like, privilege. Like when I was doing my privilege cards a number of years ago. What was that? What are privileges? Good reminder.
Anybody else?
No.
Okay. 42. Eternal privilege and resplendence are already yours. Though this was left long ago to languish in darkness, forgotten and denied, while you have been lifing and living against yourself. Boy, don't we all do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Familiar. Very familiar.
Sometimes we have to remind ourselves, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Is that...
Huh?
Is it always our vision of ourselves that if we envision ourselves?
No, it's everybody else sees it in you. And the fact is that it's like you, all you have to do is pull your face off and let the resplendent shine. That sounds crazy.
Demask yourself.
Well, I actually have a different take on that. I've never found that to be the case. That just usually uncovers more of what I was doing before. To me, that comes about when I'm making, as per number 41, a very conscious choice every moment as to how I'm living my life. Not, in fact, is probably working pretty actively against my habitual ways, and habitual ways underlie my current ways. I take it as being very consciously in the driver's seat each moment.
Yeah, and to start with, you need to keep reminding yourself that you are in that driver's seat.
Well, that's one of them. Yeah, for sure.
Because most of us, you know, we don't remember. And if we keep reminding ourselves, pretty soon it becomes second nature. And that's the place.
Yeah, never let strangers kick us up and fly us off the cliff sides.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was for you, Simone. I hope you caught it.
Pleasure.
Okay, so we're up to Sharon, right?
Are we? Okay. 43. Yeah. Being a privileged and resplendent condition of Godness, your life and the meaning and purpose of your life is not about what you do or gain or achieve or do for others. For that is not about you and not entirely by your hands. It is about who you summon forth to life and live and express, for that is about you, and is entirely by your hand.
Oh. I have a big question mark here.
Okay. So why don't we pull the sentence apart slowly and see where we lose you, okay?
Yes.
Being
please.
A privileged and resplendent condition of Godness, your life and the meaning and purpose of your life is not about what you do or gain or achieve. You got that so far?
Yes.
Or do for others, for that is not about you. Okay? The external running around and doing things is not who you are.
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And not entirely by your hand, okay? Not entirely by your doings, okay?
Okay.
It is about who you summon forth to life and live and express. So it's by who you decide who you are. Who you summon mm-hmm. forth to be. The eternal that you mm-hmm. wish to live and express.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that, that is about you. And is entirely
right.
up to you, okay? In your hands. It's up to you.
Okay. Yes, I agree. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Anybody else have any questions on that one? Okay. Passage 44.
I have a question.
Okay.
So, summons forth, and you know, a vision of yourself, and that's entirely yours and by your hand, but then. When you live that, life that, and live that, doesn't become a doing then, like, because you're doing what you want to do?
It is a doing, but it's entirely up to you. It's not by external things that are making you live one way or another. It's not
uh-huh.
your environment. It's not that your parents did this. It's not any of that stuff. It is totally up to you.
Mhm. Yeah. Good eye. Yeah. Mhm. Mhm.
Okay. Simone, passage 44, please. Did we lose her? Simone, you there?
Sharon is before me.
Oh.
Did I forget Sharon?
Yeah,
I do read. I just did
okay.
one.
She just read.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. 45.
44.
44.
I am on 44?
Yes.
Yeah.
No. Oh, okay. Are you aware that your mind and body and spirit are already in accord, and your desires and actions are in agreement? Yes, when I read it that way.
Okay, so you know that your mind, body, and spirit are communioned, right? They're in accord.
Yes. Yeah.
And what you desire and what you action, that's up to you. But they're in agreement.
Yes. Yeah.
But they're in agreement with your mind, body, and spirit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We used to say we are always in harmony with ourselves. Yeah.
Well, that's a little different, because that creates a separation. I am in harmony with what's going on, but I'm not the harmony. Okay, this is kind of like saying it's all one big thing. It doesn't have separate parts. It's totally in communion.
Okay. Being in accord is totally in communion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Anybody else have anything on that?
Well, it just makes me really think about the circumstance in my life that I'm struggling with and getting, wow. It gives me a whole different sense of what I'm actually living, you know, feeling, thinking, attituding. It's just kind of like a whole backdrop of my life I don't normally pay attention to. But when you look at it this way, you realize it's all very, very active.
That it is.
I mean, I just mean, like, even these circumstances where I think, like, lately I've just been so busy with, you know, work and stuff and struggling with that. I mean, okay, so guess what? I'm actively creating that somehow.
Yes, you are.
And no matter how insurmountable it seems, I mean, a few simple, you know, adjustments, and it can just drain away so fast to a different situation. It just strikes me that's a really important thing to remember, in, like, all the time.
Yep.
Anybody else get anything like that off of that one?
I had to have a garage sale. Get rid of all my old crap, man.
Not so much that, but I mean, it's like, it's what you do that will change the chemistry of your life. You add actions to what you're doing, or you can stop them, but I mean, not get rid of them. That's a struggle against, it's like, don't think of a green elephant. You're constantly battling with not doing something, and then you're doing it by default.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Susan, why don't you read 45 for us?
Okay, 45. Are you willing to put aside all thoughts that you receive as you have given? Are you willing to put aside all thoughts that you receive as you have given?
Yeah, that's an old spiritual thing.
Do unto others as you would have them do unto you, kind of thing.
Yeah,
you
receive as you've given, so
you
better
get what you
stuff.
Give. All those kind of sayings.
Karma.
Okay.
Are you willing to put
that
that
you
trust?
Should do, the next one, that you should do unto others as you would have them do unto you, or that the universe is to you as you are unto the universe. For though these beliefs seem to express that yourself and life is entirely in your hands, you can see that in these concepts, yourself and life are actually controlled by others and events.
Dream of the night.
See how important that is, though?
Yep. It's very seductive. It's good old traditional spiritual, it's ancient wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
It must be true. I mean, we might have a lot of emotions around, ancient wisdom, but that doesn't mean it's helpful.
Mm-hmm. doesn't make it any more real than it did when it was first said.
And it puts you into causing.
Oh yeah, it does. And victim. Mm-hmm.
Victim, oh, yeah. Big time.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay. See,
that's the funny thing about all this stuff, as we go out there and talk to people or hear them talk like this, once you get your earlobes toned to it, it's, you hear this stuff and they'll get really upset if you point it out, but it just shows you where people are is in hell of a struggle, and they don't even know it.
Yeah, but what we need to do if we want to help other people is figure out a ways to help them see it without throwing it in their face. In other words, don't say that
Roger threw it in their face.
Yeah, well, Roger's not the way I do things. If you guys haven't figured that out yet, please get that down. We had a lot of disagreements along this area. Let's just put it that way. So he was always of the mind thought that I might only have this one time, and if I don't do it and get it right in their face, they won't pay attention. Well,
he wasn't particularly fond of people doing that with him, though, was he?
No. It was very hard to point out anything to Roger. Let me just leave it at that. Okay?
I got you. Fair enough. I'm just looking for what works.
But to help bring people around to a realization without saying that they're wrong or anything else,
mm-hmm.
that they're self-defeating or anything else, but to show them another way to do it without saying what they're doing is wrong. Because as soon as you say
that... Well, now, see, that's interesting you say that. I to me, it's not telling them they're wrong, although I understand they might be quick to go there. What I always thought was useful was, you know, to hear that, okay, what I'm doing is self-defeating, because that was like, okay, the ball's in my court, and there's something I want, and I'm keeping myself from it. I'm not saying that.
Yeah, but what you could ask somebody is, what is it you really want in this situation?
Okay, right.
Then how can
we... Okay, good point. Yeah.
How can we get you there?
Okay, great. Yeah, I was looking for an alternative because I see value in the self-reflection, but I have a habitual, I guess, pattern going that one way at it. So, okay, thank you.
Okay, so where are we, 46?
Yeah, that's me.
That'd be Andrew.
Can I go after Susan?
Yeah, you go after Susan.
Mm-hmm. If you understand this, pronoun. Wait a minute, what were we talking about?
45.
Oh, yeah. All these good stuff. Traditional beliefs. Okay, if you understand this, then it should be easy for you to adopt the awareness and realization that you experience as you give or summon forth. Okay, I got that. You should do unto others only as you want to experience eternally. That's right.
What, you're in right and wrong now?
That? Yes. What I mean is, that's... I get that. That's like a little bit earlier, what I was trying to say is, in times of struggle, you know, you said be true to yourself. Okay, so being true to myself is offer only what I want to experience eternally.
Yeah.
That is true to myself.
Yes.
And it takes it out of the whole right, wrong, cause, effect thing.
Yes,
well,
it does.
Actually, not really. I guess it's, or you could sort of look at it causally, except that it's instantaneous, so it's not causal. Anyway, in this, you can certainly understand that everything in your body and life is in your hands. Yeah, I think that's the theme of tonight.
I think so.
Yes.
Ah, Simone finally gets
kinda
it.
Kind of like yes. Insipid.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
We started them off good tonight, Simone.
Okay, good.
I do my best.
Passage 47. Okay. From all that you are, from self-image to eternal resplendent being, as a condition of godness, who will you weave together to be eternal? For life is not about what you do. Life is about who of yourself you will weave together and summon to life.
There you go. Neatly woven there.
Any questions on that one?
No.
Okay, we're up to Sharon?
Who's after him?
I guess Sharon.
Sharon, maybe?
Still there, Sharon?
Yeah, I'm still here. I had my mute on, sorry.
48.
What number?
48.
Yeah. Are you at all interested in experiencing yourself as the eternal privileged and resplendent being you are, as a condition of godness? And are you willing to weave that together as you truly desire? For while that which is composed will decompose, that which is woven together from eternal threads will remain together. You already are who you seek to be. That's right.
Cool. Yeah.
That's right. Okay. Anybody have any questions on with this one?
No.
You are the weaver of your life.
Yep.
So I think that we're going to call it there. That looks like a good place
really?
To stop. Well, it's 4 minutes away from 8.
Yeah, I got it. Well, no, it's almost 11.
Oh, you are already you seek to be. No, I see. That's fine. Yep. That sounds good.
So, with that, unless anybody has any questions, I will say goodnight for now.
Thank you guys.
So where's
Greg?
Greg's sitting right here.
Oh, hey, Greg. Well, how come we didn't hear you?
He's still shy sleeping. And quiet.
Hey, Greg.
Well, that's not going to last long around this group.
Yeah, I'm starting to realize that.
Okay, good.
Andrew, did you get my email?
I haven't opened my email yet.
Okay, so what
Like in a couple days, so I guess no.
Okay, so what I said was that I didn't get the first 8 or so minutes of last week, and I didn't know if you recorded or not, so.
No, actually, to tell you the truth, I haven't gotten back into the habit of recording these. I can. I'm sorry about that.
Well, that's okay. It's the way it goes sometimes. So, anyway. Well,
we seem to be established now, so I can start. I got it. Yeah, my phone jack, I just got it. Actually, that's what it was. My phone jack in here wasn't, it was like jammed into the wall. So, actually, tonight I got it fixed somehow. I figured it out finally, so maybe I can do that again.
Okay. Well, I'm sure we'll live without those first 8 minutes. So. Okay. So with that, I will say goodnight.
Thank you, guys.